what's coming up on today's experience. Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but there is a time to laugh. And it might as well be right now. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus, is coming back sooner than you think. Never forget the acronym, MEDIA, making everyone dumber in America. Ooh, ouch. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because everything we do is hopefully a blessing, at least most of it, or some of it anyway. Also, Bible trivia for fake, and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. Good night. I'm sorry. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. You know, this one. Who has God used to bless you recently? Who has God used to bless you recently? If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That's sad. Just give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D is like getting an unexpected check in your mailbox.
We always love that day.
I'm just like, open that up and go, hello, I like this. Okay, if you don't want to call, I know the phone is tough, but if you don't want to call, you can text. It is okay to do so. You just text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Semi-professional voice now.
214-210-8483.
There you go. Computer generated or something. Additionally, you can send us an email, david@hemustincrease.org. David, my name, nothing before it, nothing after, just david@hemustincrease, the entire ministry scope of what we do, hemustincrease.org. Just that simple. Going to send you up to the website, going to make this real easy. There is some totally awesome stuff on the website. If you don't go to the website, you won't see it. There you go. It's just that simple. Plus, on the website is a place to give. It's a little red donate button. It's 100% tax deductible, 100% safe. The scripture for today, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use will be measured back to you. Yowza, that is a great passage in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
That's all, folks.
See, we could have done that in the we don't know what we're doing phase.
Yeah, that sounds like our show running and doing everything.
Yeah,
and not-
that's kind of like us right there. All right, so here's the deal. I want you everybody to be praying. So we ask people to pray. September buddies means that you hear somebody on the radio, you hear us talking about somebody, you hear us praying for somebody, something going on, and you just take that person on and you pray for them. You're their buddy for the month of September. So throughout the month while you do your devotions, you throw up a prayer on their behalf. Remember, Paul said, I mention you in my prayers. It means that you can mention somebody in your prayers. You don't spend 6 hours. You don't have to put toothpicks together. You can just bring them before the Lord and ask the Lord to bless them. I always remind people when I see Don to pray for Don, for Jennifer, and for Dynamite D. And the reason that I do that is Don has a separate ministry that is just, I would never do it. I would never own a radio station.
And that's true, Dave.
I wouldn't deal with what he deals with. Because I just couldn't do it. So you got to pray for Don because that's a front, you know, it's a frontline position. You got to pray for Jennifer because without Jennifer, the station's not running. And without Dynamite D, I'm not having fun. You're not having fun. So we're not having fun or learning. See? So you got to pray for him too. And he needs prayer because he gets under attack just like everybody else, right? He goes through the same thing. Just you think working with me is easy? All right, let's go into the text. That's enough out of that. Let's go into the text. We're in Psalm 40. And oh my. That's all, you know what? That's my beginning to this, the brilliant beginning. Oh my. Psalm chapter 40, starting with verse 1. So for those that do not know, this is a psalm from David, and this is a psalm that has to do with persevering, having a persevering faith in trials. So if you don't think you could use that, yes, you can. Okay, so of course you can use it. Everybody I know.
Right about now.
Right about this moment, exactly. So here is the very beginning. We're going to go through about 6-7 verses. Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. So let's start off with the truth in Scripture. Psalm 40 is a song. Remember, a psalm is a song. So this is a song. People sitting down and jamming. This is David, and he's writing the song. It was written by David, and it emphasizes our faith and perseverance. David begins this by saying he waited patiently for the Lord. I want to bring it up again, and we have discussed it before. Waiting patiently for the Lord does not mean we are anxious while we are waiting. You see, this is the problem there. If we truly trust in God. Now, notice I put that phrase in there, truly trust in God. Then our trust, ready, supersedes, overrides, and overcomes our feelings about the situation we are facing. So you're sitting there thinking, Dave, are you trying to say that Christians don't have feelings? No. Are you trying to tell me that the Bible teaches you to live first by your feelings? Because that would be wrong as well. The Bible is clear as to what's first. And I know most people are going to jump up and say, love is first, love is first. Truth is first because the biblical definition of love is not the same as the worldly definition of love. So truth is always first. Then with that truth will come biblical love. That's the first. So truth with biblical love. Got that? Okay. So understanding that, what we do is we encounter a situation, we go through something, and not everything we go through is hard, so let's not get weird on it, but when things are easy, it's not as difficult to get through them, and when they're tougher, it is, and the problem is when we virtually proclaim to others that we are waiting patiently for the Lord, that means that you're not anxious about it. So when you wait on the Lord, but you're anxious about it, you're not waiting patiently. And David said, I wait patiently on the Lord. And then he says this in verse 2, and this is, I love this stuff. Verse 2, he says, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Listen to this. Oh my, oh my. Listen to this text. He has brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. He has established my steps and put a new song in my mouth. So what we're going to do is understand this. God delivers us from trials, big or small. And we should recognize that he brought us out of the pit, out of the miry clay, out of the mud. And he sets our feet upon a rock, and he puts a new song in our hearts. However, many people do not sing this new song. Uh-oh. What do you mean, Dave? God delivers us, sets us on a different foundation enables us to sing praise, but sometimes some of us just stand on the rock and say, what's next, God? What have you done for me lately? And why I'm bringing that up is because we need to recognize that when God puts a new song in our mouths, that we should sing it and give God his due. He is entitled to the praise when he delivers us from the situation. Not for the, well, that was good, but now we've got this attitude, but more for the thank you for every moment of grace and mercy you grant us. For that spirit. And so we are petitioning one another to stand firm in our sacrifice of our lips, the giving of praise to God. And when the Lord blesses you, and when you're going through it, and you know the Lord has blessed you, give him his due. Praise on your lips. Thanksgiving, because he put a new song in your heart. So sing it. You don't even have to sing good. You know, joyful noise to the Lord. Sing it. Get it? All right. Somebody's calling in. We want to give them a chance to pop on in, so let them do so. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, Senor Robo in San Diego. How are you?
I'm doing great, Robo. How are you doing? How's San Diego today? How's the weather?
You know, for my first day headed towards my new adventure, I'm really suffering, David. It's about 78 degrees and clear skies. I don't know how I handle this.
You know, I just want to point out that that was mean, but I'm going to let it slide. What's happening, my bro?
Well, I wasn't even going to call in, but I heard you talking about truth and love, and it's really apropos when you look at it today, especially when you see people in high positions of power talking about we all have to band together. It's all about love. It's all about love. But when it comes to truth, that's not something that they want to get out there. It's not about the truth. They don't care about the truth, especially when it comes to the Lord on high. And I just think it really tells the times that we're in when we should be focusing on the truth, but it's all about the other.
Yeah. And that's a big problem, and it's an excellent point that you bring up, and that is simply this. When they say love is love, that means nothing. There's no meaning to that. There's no whatever. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I want to hear them quote that. I want to hear them quote, if you don't discipline your child, you don't love them. I want to hear that part of it. But they're not going to say that part of it because they don't like it.
No, no. And if it's God's love based on the Bible, then obviously that's going to be something that's great, but that's not what they're talking about. You have to accept everything and everyone and every behavior, David.
Yeah, and what's funny is if you say no, that this is the right way, you know what they do? They don't accept you.
Yep.
Which is hilarious.
How that works.
It is funny how that works. Excellent job, Robo. Excellent call. And
Happy and a great weekend, sir.
You two have an awesome, awesome day at work.
Take care.
All right. God bless. All right. Great job by Robo checking in with us. And he's right. I mean, that's just a big part of it. And that's the other part of it. And you think of that Psalms, you know, I want to put these together. It's like, look, this is you wait patiently for the Lord. And look, when the Lord delivers you, you say, thank you. Right? I mean, that's how important is that, right? Okay. All right. So great call by Robo. Let's get into we're going to take our little slowdown, not a break, slowdown, give you a chance to answer a trivia question. The birth of which of Jacob's sons caused Rachel's death or was connected to Rachel's death? The birth of which of Jacob's sons? Was it Benjamin, Joseph, or Mephibosheth? Benjamin, Joseph, or Mephibosheth? The birth of which of Jacob's sons was connected to or caused Rachel's death? Benjamin, Joseph, or Mephibosheth?
A little tough getting that one out.
Yeah, some days. You can call 972. It really won't hurt you. 445 214-210-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. The question is, the birth of which of Jacob's sons caused Rachel's death? Was it Benjamin, Joseph, or Mephibosheth? That guy. There's your opportunity to answer that. In the meantime, if you don't call in, I'm just going to go straight back to the teaching, because if you thought that stuff that we started off with is interesting, wait till we get into this. Here we go. So we're picking it up right from verse 2 and 3. Well, I'll just go through the whole thing. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. So patient waiting means what? That we trust him, and that trust supersedes our feelings of anxiety, because we'll be more confident in God than in the situation being overwhelming. Verse 2, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit. That doesn't say he just brought me up out of a pit. It's a horrible pit. Sometimes life gets tough, right? Out of the miry clay, he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. There's another reason why we need to be singing that new song and giving God his due. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Do you know, when you give God the praise for you being delivered from your situation and other people hear it, God is honored. And you want to bring glory and honor to the Lord. And then he says this in verse 4, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Look at this. This is amazing. And does not respect the proud, nor turn aside to such lies. You're thinking, what does that mean? Here's what it means. Blessed is the man who trusts the Lord. He does not look to others, to answer his prayers or fulfill his needs. He looks to the Lord. This is an important point. While we turn our eyes to the Lord, we should not secretly think about which person the Lord could bring to bring the answer that we're asking God for. That's not trusting the Lord. That's trying to manipulate the situation. Stop that. Well, if this person does this, stop it. You're supposed to focus on the Lord, not on God making somebody do something that you think will make that pay out or work out. We must keep our focus on the Lord and let him bring the answer as he sees fit through who he sees fit. And what we do is we think, well, this person's helped in the past. Maybe they'll help again. And then instead of having a confidence in God, we have a confidence in the person. Hey, guess what? That's wrong. You're not allowed to do that. What do you mean? I gotta focus on the Lord? Yes. It's okay. See why we get into that? And it's important for us to understand that. Because what we do is, what happens is we have this confidence in the Lord, and then we can't have this respect to the proud nor turn aside to any kind of lies that say others can answer this for you. You know why you turn to God? Because he's in control and only he can answer. And then it says this in verse 5, many, O Lord, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be counted. They can't be recounted. That's just too many. Your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If we were to declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Wait a second. Just a second, Dave. Now, I take exception, Dr. David Spoon, with your BA degree and your master's of theological study and your doctorate degree of Christian strategy. What are you trying to say? God has all these wonderful thoughts about me? Yes. Watch. I see. See, watch. It's a bit Y and then an E and then an S. And then put an exclamation point and then slap up high or fist bump with the Lord. Yes. In fact, this is something we should catch right away. We're encouraged not to focus on people that have pride or act like nothing ever bothers them, which, by the way, is a lie, and you should know that. Instead, our focus should be on the fact that God's thoughts towards us are wonderful, awesome, and numerous beyond measure. These thoughts are all from a loving father to his beloved children. God has so many wonderful thoughts about us. Listen to this. It's no wonder the enemy tries to make us think that God thinks little of us. Because it's the exact opposite of truth. When the enemy goes, God doesn't think highly of you. He doesn't like you. You were so good when you first started, and now look at you. You were so believing, and now look. And that's what the enemy does. Keeps dropping that. And you know what? You got to be aware. You know what? God has so many unbelievable, incredible thoughts about me. I can't even count them. He has so much of a passion for me and an appreciation for me and a desire to commune in fellowship with me that his thoughts toward me exceed my calculator. I can't even number them. I can't bring them back. I can't say them back. Why? How can you prove this, Dave? Well, besides the fact that it's in Scripture, I'll just tell you what he paid for you. Get a ransom on a situation that somebody is kidnapped, a ransom price can be pretty hefty, right? But there's not any money in the world that can compare to the price paid for you, the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. That was the price. That's how highly God thinks of you. And I understand that the world kind of throws stuff at you, which I mean, that's just part of it. And I understand that the enemy throws stuff at you. That's also part of it. But where you really have to take control is when you throw that stuff at yourself. That's the part, you see, because the enemy, you know, that's kind of like the warfare. And the world, well, they're against you. So it's like there's nothing that's going to change. But when you start dropping lies into your own heart and mind about yourself relating to God and you, that's a big danger. That's a problem. And God doesn't even, he does not want you to think that, he doesn't even want you to speak it. He doesn't want it to even exist in you. Here's the thing. We keep thinking that we get before the Lord, you know, it's going to be, let's see, how do I say this where it really makes sense? We keep thinking the Lord's going to, okay, well, I'm going to accept you, but you are just really rotten, right? But what's amazing is every time the Lord shows up to somebody's life, what's the first thing that the Lord says, that the angels say? What's the first thing the angels said to the shepherds? What's the first thing that was said to Mary? What's the first thing? Fear not. It's like we're all so afraid that God is going to think of us in this superbly negative context. And the first thing that Jesus always tells us, the first things that he tells the disciples, the first things the angels tell the people of God that have a message that's coming directly from God is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what? Of what he thinks of you. Of how he feels about you. Of how he's connected to you. Don't be afraid of that. Now I want to do this on purpose, so just bear with me. Here's that whole thing from the beginning. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord our God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in any order. If I were to declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Now, how's that for an intro to a psalm? I'm like, yeah, I want any of that, let alone all of that, right? Because a passionate believer in the Lord wants any of that and all of that. Hey, here's the big key, the big takeaway. God loves you and thinks highly of you. Get on his platform, not on yours, okay? All right. The birth of which of Jacob's sons caused Rachel's death or had much to do with Rachel's death? The question was either Benjamin, Joseph, or Mephibosheth. And we said that the answer is, of course, it's Benjamin is the answer.
Oh, wow. Got that wrong.
Benji. Benji.
Little nickname.
Yeah. Okay. We'll leave that one alone. All right. Now, listen, if you're in San Diego, you can keep listening to K-Brite. Fantastic radio show, so there's no question. If you want to keep listening to our show, you go to hemustincrease.org and you click on the Listen Live. Pretty simple. And then for those of us in Dallas, hang out. We'll take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
Not wanting to miss a moment, talking about The Moment with Kurt Warner.
Everything looks like you shouldn't go forward. You know, you can't take another step. You know, Peter, you can't step onto water. You just can't do it. Well, we've got to step towards that faith, and we've got to trust God that he's got something awesome for us. And there's no question that that's an underlying theme in this show and in all of our lives, is that we've got to step out in faith if we ever want to be what God's called us to be.
The David Spoon Experience.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.